11 o'clock hour here on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 20 minutes or so. But there was a trade that just went down in the NFL in the last hour. We briefly touched on it. I want to talk more about the running backs. We were already planning on discussing David Montgomery, but he's off the board now. He is now a member.
He's only on the board for like 12 hours.
Yeah, he's now a member of the Houston Texans. So it was originally reported by Adam Schefter that the Texans had traded for David Montgomery for a fifth round pick. But the updated compensation is the Texans get the veteran running back, David Montgomery. The Lions, I think, got a great haul back.
I do too.
Fourth round pick, an offensive lineman, Juice Scruggs, great name, and a seventh round pick. And a seventh rounder is a throw in, but all right. David Montgomery is 29 years old, or will be by the start of the season, I should say.
Yeah. That's all.
Really effective running back. Great 1-2 punch with him and Gibbs. I think it's a really strong trade for the Lions. And obviously here in Kansas City, the question is, would you have given up the same type of compensation to just get David Montgomery? I would say no. I would not want to, for a 29-year-old back, and his style of back, by the way, again, they trade for David Montgomery. They didn't trade for Jahmyr Gibbs, okay? They trade for David Montgomery, who's very good, but he's not the best back in their own backfield that they had there by any means.
No.
Houston's run game was a struggle. They signed Joe Mixon. He never played. They had Damian Pierce. They cut him. He's now in Kansas City. They had, Woody Marks in there that was effective for a couple weeks as well. Their offensive line, maybe you want to blame it on them. Their run block win rate was 32nd in the NFL. It was terrible. I would not have given up a fourth round pick and a seventh and let's call it the Chiefs' second or third offensive lineman in the depth spot I think it was a guard they traded for.
Based on talent and production, career yards per carry, this would be like a team giving this up for Isaiah Pacheco. Like, by the way, would be a logical fit in Detroit if he's no longer a member of the Chiefs as a direct replacement for David Montgomery. And he'll be available for a few million dollars and not a fourth round pick. That's why I can't understand this. If you wanted a date, I'm not kidding. All the stats, like the periphery stats, like we're tired of Pacheco here because they haven't had much of a run game. 716 yards on 158 carries, 775 yards on 185 carries. It's not way different than what Pacheco has done.
I guess for me,
Pacheco's at 1,000 yard or near that, not quite, a 950 yard season.
Yeah, you know? This is not like, well, what would you have been willing to give up? I think for me, with Montgomery, right now, as it sits on March 2nd, there's other options that are still available that don't require
draft picks
that I don't think are huge shifts from what I believe Montgomery is going to be moving forward. Because a 28-year-old, 27-year-old David Montgomery, absolute 29-year-old, you start getting there, and I gave up draft pick compensation, I get concerned. Technically, Kenneth Walker is still available. I know I keep mentioning his name. You mentioned ETN, Algier, Rashad White.
And
David Montgomery is better than Rashad White. I'm not trying to make the case that Rashad White or Algier have had better careers. It is still the combination of what you think you're going to get and then the value of what I'm getting at the position. If the Chiefs signed, you know, David Montgomery, would you think that there's good to go?
No.
I would trade for David Montgomery, I'm sorry?
No, I would think they would have to also use a draft pick in order to pair him up. And look, I don't think he'd be bad.
Yeah, I think it's a great trade for the Lions.
But Aaron Jones is reportedly going to be a free agent. Najee Harris, ETN, Dowdle, maybe Hall on a transition tag, which means maybe you could still at least try to sign him. Kenneth Walker hasn't signed with Seattle. Dobbins, part of me is just, I don't understand the attitude of an NFL team to give up what I think is too good a value for David Montgomery when David Montgomery-esque players are available. Like, this isn't one of those cases where we're saying, who are you going to get? There are still 5 to 7 backs, at least within the quality range of David Montgomery. And I hate to just say this is the way the NFL works. You got like a 25% chance if you take a running back with that fourth round pick of getting a running back of the quality of David Montgomery. It's not even that big of a stretch. You probably got a 1-in-4 shot going.
The Lions will probably use that pick they got to draft.
Yeah.
I'm looking at
You got a shot of finding a player of that quality.
I was trying to see, do the Texans just have a ton of picks? Is that why? So the Texans have still their first round pick this year. They have 2 second-round picks. They own the Commanders' second-round pick, which ended up being better than they thought. That was the Tunsil trade. They also got a second-round pick back for the Tunsil trade. So they have a first, 2 seconds, the Giants' third-round pick, the Commanders' fourth-round pick. So they have 2 fourth-round picks already. So maybe that's why guys they are willing to do more. They are the fourth-round pick they traded. I don't know if it was their fourth-round pick or if
they've
it was
got extra.
The Commanders. So they have 2 fifth-round picks. Like, they don't have a sixth. They had a seventh. From the Niners, they picked up an additional, or they gave away their seventh round pick.
So for them, it's Woody Marks and Dan Montgomery, essentially.
Yep.
I guess, but that, I mean, boy, what an uninspiring
with a quarterback a that they're trying to make life easier for because he's struggling.
Look, let me
they
just
need
point
offensive
out,
line help.
Mm-hmm.
We all think, and this is why I mentioned Isaiah Pacheco. We all think he's going to be a free agent.
Oh well, yeah, he's not coming back. His time in Kansas City is done.
David Montgomery in his career averages 4.1 yards per carry and 58.2 yards per game. Isaiah Pacheco has 4.4 yards per carry and 50 yards per game. If you look at like any of the years, 170 carries, his first 2 years, 170, 205, 830, 935. It's like identical to what David Montgomery has been doing in, I mean, borderline identical to what David Montgomery has been doing.
I think the reason that
Detroit.
People.
So why not just sign Pacheco?
The reason people view David Montgomery different though is because probably because the touchdown numbers get enhanced because that's how they use him, and then
back to back double digit touchdown seasons.
He also
those are like pitcher wins,
but it's their scheme too. Like they run in Detroit. They ran a scheme that they were going to run the ball and it was going to be efficient and they were going to rely on those two backs. It felt obviously that's different.
Playmakers all over the field too.
Yeah. Obviously I think that it's different in Kansas City, of course, with how they do that. I thought so. Gold, you weren't here. I pitched this to Cody because a lot of, like, we've talked about the money, like how much is it going to take to pay a Kenneth Walker, somebody like that, or even a Breece Hall, like how much money is that compared to what you would pay Jeremiah Love? Cause we talk about the, you know, that playmaker running back. You're going to pay roughly a similar amount of money for both of them. So why not get the back that is better, I think, in terms of getting Jeremiah Love to have that playmaker to pair with whatever.
Because I got
to
spend pick 9.
But that was – so. And Cody, you came back with, would you rather have Jeremiah Love and then I forget who you said. Jeremiah Love and then somebody else, or Caleb Downs and then pair with a free agent running back, or whatever the case it was. I can't remember.
The example I gave was like at pick 9, essentially it's like, would you rather have, because for the price, would you rather have ETN and Reuben Bain or Bailey, or would you rather have Love and, like, I think in this case it was like the free agent defensive end quality. It was like,
I would take the rookie to again. It's a positional value thing.
Me too.
Because the money is technically less for Jeremiah Love. You would pay a Breece Hall or somebody like that, but
not by much, though.
But in turn, it doesn't end up. It becomes more of a wash financially. So you would take the talent that you need more at the edge spot.
We're on the same page. I mean, a free agent defensive lineman, one hard to find, but they're going to cost you more,
right?
Than if I can find. Hopefully, you nail the draft pick right, and you find the rookie at 9 that's a defensive lineman and has a high ceiling in what I'm paying there. I'm just getting more value for selecting a defensive player at 9
and
than I am running back.
Paying Travis Etienne.
Yeah, it's just the way the market is working. So I am, you guys know from going back to January, like I am pretty firmly on don't draft Jeremiah Love at 9, and it's not even about like him.
Running back.
It is more about running back, and it happens to be a year where there's plenty of options in free agency. There really are. I understand like people are getting nervous because Breece Hall may not be truly available and David Montgomery just got traded, but we found out Aaron Jones is also another name. He's old though. He would have to be paired with one or two other guys is the problem.
2 times in the last 4 years, Aaron Jones has had more yards per carry and yardage than David Montgomery's ever had in his best year. So like even at his age, 2 times in the last 4 years, he's bested David Montgomery's career years. So like, again, it's not
12 games this year,
but for us, I need him to be a back paired with Rashard Smith and a guy taken in the 3rd round. I don't need Aaron Jones to be good forever. I need Aaron Jones to be good for a year.
Aaron Jones hurt all the time. I would stay away from Aaron Jones.
Yeah, 12 games this year. That's the first thing that came to mind for me as well. Is he played 12? Now, he had 17 the year before. Then it was 11 prior to that. He's definitely not your 2 year solution or 3 year solution.
I really think that if there's.
I was going to point out, he's been a far more successful back than the one we just talked about.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, for sure. I mean, Aaron Jones, over the course of his career, was great. But do you think Do you think Breece Hall is going back to the Jets? That's what it kind of
yes,
like, with the
on a transition tag.
I think the only, which this is where, again, maybe it's the Jeremiah Love in terms of what he can be sort of thing in comparison to, you guys mentioned the elite quarterbacks. He is more of a James Cook than any of the other guys that you're going to take. He's more of a Jahmyr Gibbs than any of the other guys. He's more of a Chase Brown than because we know he's like the complete package. Yeah. You know, outside of Derrick Henry, we talked about the elite backs. They can do it all. I think that that's the only one that I would take in free agency now that I think could fill that role in a way is Travis Etienne. I don't think anybody else fills that where you're talking about, Cody. You don't need to sign a free agent and also draft one in the same breath.
I think this is
other than Jeremiah Love or Travis Etienne.
Part of the problem with talking about guys at the David Montgomery, Tyler Allgeier level is we just want a new name, not a different name. Because for the same argument, go to taking with someone in the third round and all the arguments I gave you, you can make the argument that the best path forward is just bringing back Pacheco and drafting a running back.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't think
that's,
so.
That's not way different than bringing in Allgeier.
Yeah, I disagree.
Age and production standpoint, there's not like a massive drop-off between
him and Montgomery. Hunt, too, correct? Because they're going to bring back...
Not Hunt, there's a drop-off.
There's a difference. Pacheco is the lead back. Allgeier's never been the lead back. He doesn't have as much wear and tear on him. He's been healthy. Pacheco, to me, post-injury, was never the same running back. And as great as it, as fun it was his rookie year when he ended up getting the job from Clyde and the excitement around that, he just fizzled out, man. He just fizzled out, and then his flaws were exposed.
I bet they've got a very similar number of carries, I guess.
So Tyler Allgeier reportedly wanted three for 22.
It means he'd take three for 15, but yeah.
Is that different than I think. Are you comfortable giving him 3 for 15, given what you're saying?
Yeah, because it's only 2 years, really. It's really a 2-year contract.
Boy, they're actually a really good comp. Agio's 25, Pacheco's 26, or at least were last season, so a year older for each.
Yeah.
Pacheco's averaged 4.4 yards per carry. Agio's averaged 4.3. Agio's carried the ball 676 times. Pacheco just 576 times because obviously the injury last year and for part of,
he only played 7 games in 2024.
2024, he was quite hurt. Allgeier's been very healthy.
He's played in almost every game in his career.
He has. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, from a production standpoint, there's not some like, this is like the Montgomery Allgeier. Yeah. Like, these are like the ranges are similar. And I guess for the money we're talking about, Pacheco would be cheaper. You know, you'd be banking on health, and I'd still have to draft a guy. And look, I'm not saying bring back Pacheco. I'd be more interested in Allgeier. I just don't think it's as far. I want one of the upper-end guys, so I'm not stuck in what feels like similar. That's why I wouldn't give it up.
Allgeier has never been the sign Allgeier and everything is fixed. That's never been my point. It's been Allgeier plus somebody else. Pacheco, I feel like we're glossing over, like, some of the stuff is a big deal. Pacheco, a year older, injury history, the flaws and just his running style. Like, I think we kind of know it is time to move on. It is time to, you've maxed out what you got from him. I don't think Allgeier has been maxed out by the Falcons. And again, Allgeier with somebody else. I don't think Tyler Allgeier is just going to be the lead back and everything's going to be solved for this team.
I do really think too, if you're going to bring in Allgeier, you have to go, under center more. The shotgun stuff with Allgeier he is not a shotgun guy. I think that also is part of the equation as well, because stylistically, how are they compared to what they've had before? Like Tyler Allgeier, even David Montgomery. David Montgomery is not a shotgun back. Like, that's Jahmyr Gibbs. I think part of also the conversation around running back is the running back good enough to help alleviate some pressure off of Patrick Mahomes? And I don't know if there's anybody in free agency that does that.
I think there are some of that. Walker and ETN specifically.
Sure. I mean, if you want it, but I mean, would you rather pay Walker that money or draft the guy that you have control over for 4 years I think that's part of the conversation where I think the only, maybe Kenneth Walker, maybe ETN, but Jeremiah Love, you know, based on what he does, he's going to alleviate pressure off of Patrick Mahomes to have to do everything.
But like, I understand that, but like, I can't solve defensive line with money, not the amount of money I would spend on Walker. And this is where just like, I don't think it's as crazy as someone's making it sound. Like on the 402, they said, tell me they're not comparing him. Isaiah does not have running back vision. Let me just ask you this. Like, from a comparison standpoint, they play on different teams in fairness. Bijan has no problems getting like 87 yards a carry under the Atlanta offensive line.
He's also the second best running back in football.
Tyler Allgeier averages less yards per carry than Isaiah Pacheco. Maybe he's got a vision problem. You just don't see it because we don't watch him play as much. Like, Isaiah Pacheco, when on the field, is as productive as Algiers.
Now we're making it again. My whole thing with Algiers, he's not a top five back in football. That's never been my point. I'm just saying Isaiah Pacheco, the injury and the wear and tear, I think has clearly degraded his performance. Yeah. And then, we know the vision is a problem. Do we know everything about Tyler Algiers? No, there's a reason why he's been a backup in this league, that they drafted him. They drafted him the year before they drafted Robinson. So they clearly were not
1,000 yards, and then they still went back.
Correct.
Bijan's great.
And there's a reason why Algiers is also only going to get 3 years for $12 or $15 million. That's what I'm trying to make the understand. The Algiers thing is not as if I just think he's going to come in and be the best running back the Chiefs have had in 20 years. That's not the point. I would say the same thing. Like, if ETN comes in, I don't think ETN can just be the guy that gets 99% of the carries. That doesn't happen either. There is no Bijan Robinson to go and get. And now, you might want to argue, well, there is, and his name's Jeremiah Love in the draft.
Someone is definitely going to argue that.
Someone says our logic is dumb on not drafting Love. That's fine. We can disagree. This is why draft talk is fun and free agency is fun. My stance on Love, we've just said over and over. I don't think the value fits what it's going to cost me at nine versus going and getting a running back or two. I think I can get similar production in an Andy Reid offense. If this was a different head coach, a different scheme without Patrick Mahomes, hell yeah, go draft Jeremiah Love. Absolutely. Run heavy team, all of that. If this was 20 years ago, all of that. The Chiefs, to me, are not going to get the full use out of Jeremiah Love anyway, just the style they play.
Pick at nine,
so it doesn't make any sense, not to mention the cost part. Anyway, we will certainly talk more Jeremiah Love for the next couple months as we get closer to the draft in Pittsburgh. Let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
I also, one more thing I do have to address on the text line because it's just inaccurate. You want the Chiefs to pass on taking the best player in the draft. Jeremiah Love is not the best player in the draft. We might find out as time goes on. Like, right this second, you cannot honestly tell me he's the best player in the draft. By that logic, it might actually be Caleb Downs.
I think it is Caleb Downs.
Matt Miller said
pound
it's Downs
pound,
and
right?
I think Matt Miller came out and said it's Downs and Love are the two best players.
He's probably close to it. But again, he plays one of the least valuable positions.
All right, let's get to the trash. This one fits the show a little bit because we've had some fun with sports cards. So there's a Florida man, of course, accused of stealing $10,000 in trading cards. And what did he use? He used taco seasoning packets. So
it's a little too cheap there, pal.
You know those like cheap 99-cent little taco seasoning? Okay, so there's a 39-year-old Palm Beach, Florida man. He was arrested. He was using those packets to steal thousands of dollars worth of trading cards at Target and Walmart. So he allegedly would grab large boxes of trading cards along with the exact same equal number of seasoning packets, and then he only scanned the cheap seasoning packets at self-checkout. And he pulled off the scheme, they said, about 75 times, starting from July of this summer into early February, racked up more than $10,000 in losses for the stores, and he made nearly $40,000 from selling the stolen cards on eBay. He faces charges of felony organized retail theft, stolen property, money laundering, possible sentence of up to 90 years in prison.
90
years? So he was
just
scanning the 99-cent taco packets.
Look, I mean, he should definitely be in trouble. 90 years feels a little crazy. But $10,000 in losses is nuts.
How did it take him that long? He got to do it 75 times before they caught on that this was the dude doing it?
Boy, at that point, you probably do feel invincible for a while. You just keep looking for stuff. And like, I guess he never got, like, he needed the $1 million card hit. He could have moved to some, you know, beach somewhere and tried to escape all this before they figured it out.
Yeah.
I you know, it's weird. I prefer still the self-checkout because I feel like I can move faster than the 100%. Regular line. I'm trying to operate with ruthless efficiency.
Over the 12 items or less sign, do you just ignore it?
For the most part,
like I do.
If it's way over, you just got to go to line, right? If it's 15 to 18, I think you're cool. You got 35 things in there. You got to bounce.
You go to a Target on a random Wednesday night at, 7:30 or 8 o'clock. Sometimes there's only one regular lane open. Anyway, you're forced to go to self-checkout. Well, so whether you got 5 items or 25 items, you might have to go there.
But I went to Target over the weekend and picked something up. And I walked past a fully empty nobody in line, checkout line with a person there.
Wow.
And went to the self-checkout to just do it myself.
You didn't want to interact with the person, is that what it sounds like to me. Yeah.
But like I walked, it was empty. There wasn't a soul waiting. I could have walked right up. They'd order my stuff. But I went straight, bypassed and went straight to the self-checkout.
That person probably is glad you didn't come into their line either. They got to relax a little bit.
They just got to kick it.
Uh-huh. We were talking about this off-air earlier with the trash of the day. Like, this guy basically scanning a different, you know, the taco seasoning packets as if they were the boxes he was scanning. This was, when I lived in Houston, this was on the news all the time. I don't know, maybe it was here too, but this was in 2018. There was a real problem when self-checkout was first starting. And there was like a website, this is on the news, that people would use, they would print off like barcodes and they would sticker them, I guess.
For less,
On a box of it. I mean, anything, electronic, a vacuum, a microwave, whatever. And they would do basically what this guy did. And this was a huge problem. And they finally figured out like what was going on.
How much stuff do you think you've not scanned in your life?
Not much. I'm sure I missed items.
A handful of items a year, you know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, I've recognized it as I go to load stuff in the car every once in a while. And you're like, ooh, I don't think I scanned that. Do you think I'm walking back in? Nah.
What's
done is done at that point. I don't know if you guys operate that way, but it's like, what's done is done. I'm not going back in.
Depending on the item. I mean, if it's because you misweighed three bananas, you're not going to go back in the store. You know, there's a little bit different.
I forgot the pack of battery. Like, I swear to God, 2 weeks ago, it was like a small, like $7 pack of batteries. And like one of my kids was sitting in the cart and I missed them. And I got out to the car and they were there. I'm like, these are my batteries now. What do you want? We're gonna go back in.
Yeah.
Walk all the way
people
back in to
convinced,
scan them.
Though,
leave them in the parking lot. It's crazy.
People are convinced, Cody, you're purposely ringing up the Red Delicious apples, which are cheaper than the Granny Smiths or
like
Honey Crisp. Yeah.
Or Fuji sometimes.
Fuji's good. Fuji's a solid apple. Yeah.
It's a good apple for a good price.
You know? Yeah. I like
the Cosmic.
It's been a while
Crisp
since
too.
I just went and bought an apple at the store. If I'm being honest, but yeah. So people called you a career criminal stealing career. Trash cans.
That one was an accident. That was an innocent mistake.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, once it got home...
People are saying, you got to watch out, man. FBI is into you with the illegal poker games.
Get out of here.
Now petty theft.
Get out of here. Petty theft.
You got to
come after me for those batteries.
You got to be
not
careful, man.
For your batteries? Yeah.
There's a continued trend. You're only ringing up one of these bananas every single time you go. You know, instead of the full bundle.
It's just The idea of having to go back in there and be like, hey, I didn't scan these batteries. I'd rather just chuck them in the store and run away. I there's no way I'm repurchasing them. I would say that, right? I'm just going to let those go. I could actively need them, Drew. I'm not going to go back through the checkout process to buy them. I'd rather just leave them inside the store.
Is it embarrassing for you? Is that what it is? Or what exactly?
I've just completed the transaction. I'm not redoing this.
I mean, there's some people that believe, you know, it doesn't mean it's correct, but a lot of people texting in saying like, look, it's, I don't get paid to be the cashier. If I make a mistake happens.
Yeah, I'm not trained.
You know?
It's not intentional. I'm not doing it with any kind of malice. And a cashier can make a mistake too. I also picked something up at Lowe's. And the cashier tried to, wouldn't ring in.
Yeah.
A million times, came over, tried to help, look it up at the system, wouldn't ring up. And then eventually they're like, how much was this thing? I mean, legit, it was like $1.80.
Yeah, like,
and then they just scanned something that was 80 cents four times and said, just get the hell out of here.
There are stores though. I think I don't want to name them on air because I don't know 100%. I believe there's a couple grocery stores, at least one chain, that got rid of self checkout because theft became such a problem.
Yeah, that's surprising.
You know, they had to do that. All right, up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk about a wide receiver that is going to be available, and he has criteria for his next team. Do the Chiefs fit all those spots on the list? We'll tell you that. Plus, it's post combine, so you know we got a new mock draft next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold. We'll be talking Chiefs, and we'll get into some Royals baseball again coming up in the noon hour, including a new outfielder, part of the mix at least, for the rest of spring training and ultimately heading into opening day as, of course, Royals baseball right here on 96.5, The Fan. But there's a wide receiver that has come up multiple times over the last few years, Mike Evans. He chose to stay in Tampa last year. We know he is a free agent this year, and there seems to be a lot of momentum that he's not going back to Tampa. And we've talked about the possibility of why you would be interested in Mike Evans, why you wouldn't be interested in Mike Evans. Well, Jeremy Fowler put out a list of what he is hearing that he wants in the next team.
His checklist of things.
Now, we have seen these before, and then you're like, huh?
Oh, like, yeah, I remember once DeAndre Hopkins talking about wanting to play for a Super Bowl champion and then signed with the Titans.
Yeah.
Now, I think Mike Evans is far more likely at his stage of his career to actually mean some of that, I guess, rather right. than biggest check from biggest team.
So here's the criteria for Mike Evans. One, a quarterback he believes in. Well, okay.
I think, check.
I would say they're good there.
I mean, if he doesn't believe in Patrick Mahomes, who the hell does he believe in? I'm sorry, but.
Chance at a Super Bowl. Now.
Okay. Kansas City goes to a lot of them.
You got a chance. You know my opinion. I think they're more positioned to be a playoff team than like one of the top teams in the AFC. But that eliminates, if you're going based off
like five teams maybe ahead of him is a better Super Bowl chance, though.
Top shelf OC. Now, Andy Reid's basically that. That's tricky.
Depends on how you view it.
You know, that's tricky. I would say that's Andy Reid, though. I understand Eric Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I don't think it quite qualifies.
And here's the
half check.
This last one is the interesting one. Promise. That doesn't mean you have to check every single box, I guess, but
yeah.
Promise of a high volume in touches. And in this offense, if Travis Kelce's back, if Rashee Rice doesn't get suspended, that's the
seems unlikely.
I agree. If he's available, then are there a high volume of targets? Now, if Rice is suspended, then absolutely.
If Rice is suspended and Travis retires, you can have 7,000 career targets, and you can have as many targets as you want in this offense.
I've told you my interest in Mike Evans changes if Travis Kelce doesn't come back.
Of course.
If Travis Kelce doesn't come back, then by all means, find a way to get a deal done with Mike Evans. My hesitation with Evans is if you're already bringing back Travis at his age, and you know, and you're going through, you're not you're just for 1 year, you're going to have basically you're going to have Mike Evans and Travis Kelce for 1 year for what? I don't think it makes a ton of sense. And Mike Evans, I'm a little concerned. And you guys can say that you said the same thing about David Montgomery, but I think there's a history here suddenly with Mike Evans. And that is, I'm worried we're jumping on the ship here when it's falling apart already.
A little too late.
Look at the last 2 years. This year, 8 games played. That was it. Last year, prior to that, he had 1,000 yards, so nothing to be ashamed of. 14 games. I'm just wondering, as he'll soon turn 33, are we now going to start seeing a guy that's never playing a full season again?
It's just hard because if I gave you those list of things, the Chiefs are one of the best fits. The only ones I would make an argument for that are better fits, the QB believes in, chance at a Super Bowl, top shelf OC, and high volume of touches. Buffalo Bills and New England Patriots might be the only other two. They're also getting half checks on the top shelf OC part, maybe missing it entirely because they got a brand new head coach there and you really don't know necessarily what you're getting there. But the volume of touches, those are borderline versus Kansas City, where there is at least some question about how those touches would be split if Rice were back, if Kelce's back and all that. In Buffalo, Mike Evans is immediately the number one option. And I think if someone like New England went after Mike Evans, bye-bye Stephon Diggs, and you're immediately the number one option there too. You're not competing with anyone for targets in either of those places. So I guess it depends on how, and I would think quarterback he believes in, Drake May and Josh Allen, should still qualify under that category. No more or less than Baker Mayfield does, right? Based on what that is. Drake May, even if he did have a bad, and he did have a bad playoff run, you would still think there's plenty of people who are like, no, that's just a bad playoff run because he didn't have weapons, and Mike Evans will solve that. But that's kind of it. How many other teams check? I mean, they check at least three. If it was a half check for top shelf OC for the Chiefs and a half for promise of high volume of targets, if he has a checklist that he wants four things, I think they're pretty much getting him to three.
Now, I don't think they have room for him in Jacksonville, but Liam Cohen was in Tampa with Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Now, I don't, again, they
well,
would
come to the Brian Thomas
that would
Jr.
be the,
trade.
That'd be the Brian Thomas Jr. trade, yeah. Because they're not going to have Brian Thomas, Mike Evans, Parker Washington, and Jacoby Myers. I mean, that would be kind of crazy. But if you traded Brian Thomas, you know?
Like, I mean, that always goes back to, and this is the problem with wide receiver, Evans, unless it's Travis Kelce, feels like a stopgap in the, I still need to know who Patrick Mahomes, and this is a problem. We used to talk about this with tackle, and now it's their biggest, I think it should be the biggest question they're asking themselves internally as an organization. When they sit down for their offseason meetings, before they hit free agency, before they hit the draft, and free agency is in like 9 days or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
8 days. When they have those and sit down with those conversations, the single biggest question they should be asking themselves for the long term about this team is, who is Patrick Mahomes' number one target for the bulk of this stage of his career? Right now, there is no answer. Mike Evans wouldn't solve that. Travis Kelce doesn't solve that.
Yeah, he's not on the roster.
Don't know if, unless Xavier Worthy's getting ready to take a huge leap forward, or Rashee Rice is ready to stop getting in trouble, you know, and take a huge leap forward. So, like, both things. Then, yeah, you're right. It's not on the roster. That goes back to nine and all this other stuff and the draft pick selections.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Evans is really just, like, holding it together for a while while we continue to
it's probably
wait
a 2 year deal.
Who's eventually it's going to be.
You know, I'd be shocked if someone would, I shouldn't say shocked. I would not want to give Mike Evans a 3 year deal. That's basically a 2 year deal.
Yeah.
I think you're going to have to give him a 2 year deal though of guaranteed money or a good chunk of it guaranteed, I should say, moving forward. I think someone said maybe the Rams. I don't think the Rams make sense for Mike Evans. We're the, you talk about high volume of touches. He's getting touches. Mike Evans and Puka, and Devontae Adams, where are the touches coming there?
No. I don't, depending on the team, tell me the team that's got more targets available right now.
Yeah, I agree with you on Buffalo.
The Chiefs
are
pretty high in the available targets category.
Buffalo and New England make a lot of sense there. I think with this applies to the A.J. Brown trade, too. You know, that's the part of this. What does Mike Evans sign before an A.J. Brown trade, and how does that impact the market?
Like, he could get more targets in Vegas, but, like,
a quarterback he believes in. Mendoza fan.
You're not getting any of the other three things, right?
Okay, what about like Green Bay? If they move on from Romeo Doubs.
I'm with you. They just don't normally sign big time free agents in Green Bay. That's always been a thing.
Yeah, they don't. And I also, there's like a part of me that genuinely believes that Mike Evans at his age, like Kansas City's cold. I don't think he'll go to I do not think he will go to Green Bay, Chicago.
We play the audio of his wife.
I know Buffalo, but like there is a part of it where I just don't feel like
she wants to.
We play the audio of his wife a year ago, clearly is heavily involved in his decision making process. Now I'm not gonna claim I know who his wife is. My point is like she wanted to stay in Tampa, she loved it there. She wants to go to Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Probably not. But she probably wouldn't be up there except for I don't know.
I don't know, right? Someone mentions the Chargers. Quarterback he believes in. Maybe he believes in Justin. Top flight OC. Mike McDaniel checks that
box.
Is Keenan
Allen still there? Is he a free agent?
He's a free agent. High volume of targets. Could be there. Could. That's an interesting spot. I'll listen to that one. That actually is not a bad name to throw in the mix as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a bad one. But again, it's all just a... And look, this is why I mentioned like Allen and Mahomes. He's going to be tempted by one of these places... He's not ring hunting as in he has a ring.
He does.
But I think it's pretty clear the majority of his career. I don't think he wants to just go to some team that gives him no chance to win. Yeah. It's maybe not priority one because otherwise he wouldn't have stuck in Tampa forever. Because there were some lull years in Tampa when winning a Super Bowl wasn't real high on the list, right? Mm-hmm. The bridge years between Tom Brady and Baker, those couple years when they were starting Jameis or whatever, they weren't exactly like getting it done during that time, right? There wasn't like a high probability of winning the whole thing, but he's paid well and he got a lot of targets and he got to live where he liked it and he was under contract.
Can I give you a long shot dark horse team that I actually think would be fascinating if they did it just to pair him up with? The issue is the quarterback to believe in part. New York Giants. You tell me they have Malik Nabers with Mike Evans, Cam Scataboo,
that'd be fun.
Plus rumors they want to sign Kenneth Walker or draft Jeremiah Love. That in New York with Jackson Dart. That's fun.
They're trying to supercharge. That's
a lot of fun. A lot of fun with Harbaugh, Matt Nagy's the OC. That'd be interesting.
So who'd be part of that trade? Would it be like, it'd be free agent?
No trade. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Malik Nabers can learn from Mike Evans a little bit. Jackson Dart's got two legit wide receivers.
A good backfield.
I mean,
probably.
I'm just saying.
You know? Look, I would say if they put that team on paper, you would think that they have a good chance at being successful this year. So we'll see. Someone says he's going to be a Texan. I'm like, I mean, Texans do not check the quarterback.
I mean,
their OCs suck.
Quarterback you believe in. Chance of winning a Super Bowl. Top shelf OC.
No.
Promise a high volume of touches. Fine. He's got that in Houston.
Like, I guess.
They can spend their money elsewhere.
I guess that is the last thing on this before we get to our post-combine mock draft. The real question is, do you believe Mike Evans? Because that's the difference you mentioned right at the beginning. I saw DeAndre Hopkins once put out a very serious list like this, like he meant it, and he signed with the Titans.
Money,
and
money,
Will Levis
money.
Was the starting quarterback at the time. Yeah. So let me assure you, he didn't mean any of it. He meant who has the most zeros on my check,
and if
that
they
will
happen,
be the team I sign with. You know?
And if they happen to have the other stuff, yeah. Ultimately, if someone's willing to offer him a 3-year deal, and everybody else is only offering a 2, he's probably going to say, "Well, shoot, you know, there's a little more money attached to that." I don't blame anybody. I get it.
This would be a weird spot, I guess, too, real quick. With the Colts, you're not spending as much money on quarterback. I mean, you're paying Daniel Jones, but you could lose Alec Pierce.
Gross.
Him and Pittman. I don't think that appeals to him, but I know, I mean, obviously,
him
how
and
good
Pittman
they were.
Just like running into each other at 8-yard in cuts. Like, there's just part of it where it just doesn't feel like it fits. I don't disagree, Drew, in the sense that.
I mean, him and Neighbors are relatively similar, to be quite honest.
I guess anymore, it's like they run like both outside wide receiver sets. They're just different talent, I guess, in that end. And we don't know what they're going to get out of Neighbors this year. Sometimes, though, I agree with this sense, which is I do not think it's the worst strategy for like a guy like Jackson Dart to, you know how you find out?
Load him up.
You know how you find out? You give him a great offensive line and a million weapons. Figure out how to be a Super Bowl contender later.
Is their line
find
good?
Out if you have the quarterback first. No, their line's mediocre. But find out if you have the quarterback first. That's like the key one to winning it all is find out if you got that guy.
Well, the draft can certainly help. That is the mock draft standard. It's the first one post-combine week, so you know there's been a lot of overreaction, groupthink, media love based off of someone's 40-yard dash.
Oh, yeah. And one of the guys, so we're going to go to Arrowhead Addict, who put out a 5-round mock draft. By the way, the five rounds are all that they have. They don't have any 6th or 7th round picks, I believe.
That's probably why they did 5.
Based on some research. So Price Carter was the one who wrote this one. We'll give credit to him for this. Speaking of wide receivers who run 40s that people are questioning, Carnell Tate at number 9. Ring, ring, ring. 4.53 paired with the 1.1 10-yard split. Caught some teams off guard, according to Price, but Tate appears much faster on film. Was a big field stretcher for the Buckeyes. That's why paired, with some long speed questions as well as other names rising, there's a chance that Tate is available at 9 for the Chiefs.
So maybe I'm in the minority here on this. Look, if you already were not a fan of Carnell Tate, then
boy, did that secure it.
Then it secures it. I guess for me, I don't have the same freak out reaction to his 40 time being disappointing as others do. Like if Carnell Tate was who you thought they should take at 9, I'm not scared off by the 40 yard dash. There's other reasons why I don't know if I want him at 9. You know, we've talked about Ohio State and the wide receiver room and everything that exists there.
He's never been a number one at Ohio State.
Those to me, Matt, that stuff matters more than, hey, look, his 40-yard dash time was not as impressive. We've talked so much about like the speedster guys and all
speed.
That. Exactly. In Kansas City.
At wide receiver anyway.
Exactly. So I get the reaction because we all focus in on the 40-yard dash and everybody wants to know who's fast. I mean, it's just it's stuff that we can seems more tangible for all of us. Like if I tell you someone ran a 4.3 40, like you kind of know what that means. And I just think it's a bit of an overreaction. My opinion on Carnell Tate really didn't change in the last 72 hours.
I'm going to ask you, Gold, the same question I asked Cody. Would you, if you could guarantee that Carnell Tate was T. Higgins, would you take him at 9?
Not at 9.
If you could guarantee that
that's
was
like
T. Higgins.
Guaranteeing Rashee Rice healthy.
Not at 9, because if I was picking 17th, sure.
40? You know, pick,
40
sure.
would be, of course.
40 is about where T got selected.
That's a hell of a pick at 40.
Because I think that, you know, there's people think that T. Higgins, he's always been a number 2, and he still put up really good numbers, obviously. If you made him a number 1, what would he be? Would you take him at 9? I think that's the question, because ironically enough, 40 times, very almost identical between T. Higgins and Carnell Tate.
Yeah, not
size,
at 9.
Similar.
If someone gets Carnell, if he slides in the draft, and every year there is at least one wide receiver in that grouping of the top 3 that slides.
There's no way he gets out of the first round.
And
no chance.
No, but slides to like 20.
Sure.
And I don't know if maybe, is that going to be him because of his combine? You know, what was he like in the interviews? I don't know. I think Carnell Tate, if he's there at 15 or 17, if he falls to that point, I think it's a hell of a pick. At 9, it's a bit more of a stretch, but I am not anti taking wide receiver at 9 at all. You know, I my priority is defensive line, but if you told me they took Tate or Lemon or Tyson at 9, you could sell me on that.
It is interesting because with the combine stuff with the testing with Tate, Mekhi Lemon apparently bombed interviews really badly, according to reports. at least some of them. That whole position is very interesting.
Don't forget, there's teams that might love that player that intentionally leak out how bad he was during the interview process and all. There's gamesmanship, smokescreen. I'm not saying the Chiefs are doing it, like in this particular instance. I'm just saying some of that stuff that happens, the Chiefs might, it turned out they might actually love a player they were telling everybody they hated. It happens every year.
On Friday during the show, we were talking about Fernando Mendoza, who said, the worst question he got asked was that someone told him to get arrested.
One about, hey, I don't know if I can say it. It was, hey, maybe you should get arrested. And I was like, you know, I was a little confused, but then I was like the slide. So hopefully I don't get arrested.
I don't get that one.
So you can slide in the draft.
Can you tell us who said that?
It was not one of the teams I had a formal interview with, so I'm not going to. I don't want to expose the team.
That's got to be Minnesota, right?
I'm guessing the team was joking slightly.
Yeah, I don't think they actually think they have any chance at getting it, but still, it's a wild thing to say.
I mean,
look, at number 9 at wide receiver, the only thing I'm locking in is they're one of the 5 to 7 best wide receivers in the NFL. Other than that, I'll roll the dice and take my chances. I'm never locking in like T. Higgins, who's probably, I don't know, without looking, the 30th in yardage last year, you know? Wide receiver, 25th in yardage in the NFL.
I don't know. He was also hurt throughout the year with concussion issues, and he still was. I mean, I
bet he averages like the 25th most yards out of wide receiver in the NFL in a given year. That's probably around where he is, because there's going to be plenty of people like Amon-Ra and Justin Jefferson. Like, if you could guarantee me he's Amon-Ra St. Brown, I'll lock it in, right? But Amon-Ra's better than T. Higgins and has been more productive than T. Higgins, and I know works as a number one wide receiver.
Sure.
T. Higgins, for all I know, maybe he would be a 1,200-yard wide receiver if Jamar Chase didn't exist. But I can't lock it in because, I don't know. He's also had injury history and all that other stuff. He'd maybe land more in that Tyson range. Who else? You said that was their first round?
Yeah, that was the first round pick. Yeah, it's a 5-rounder. So I'll run off the rest for you. A guy that Bink mentioned, actually, Gabe Jackass at pick 40, edge rusher.
Jackass,
J-A-C-A-S.
Not, okay.
Edge rusher out of Illinois. Third rounder, Chandler Rivers, slot corner out of Duke. And then the fourth and fifth, real quick for you, Nick Singleton, running back out of Penn State, and round 4. And then round 5, Xavier Harris, interior defensive lineman out of Ole Miss.
Again, the position grouping doesn't sound all that crazy. And you, like you,
there's
said
another fifth round pick, by the way. I'm sorry, a safety, Robert Spears Jennings from Oklahoma.
If you wanted Reuben Bain or Carnell Tate, this was a great week for you. It got slightly more likely those players will be available at 9. Not way more likely. Let's not try to pretend like one combine performance moves the needle entirely, but those players became slightly more likely to be available at pick number 9 than they were just a week ago. And that's fine. Great. You know, like that feels about right, depending on those. But my whole thing on Bane last week, and you weren't here for it, and guys like Carnell Tate is, like at 9, like with Bane, I'm not Tate. He fits prototypical size, strength, all those things. With Bane, I'm not going to try to get they go outside of all the normal metrics for success of that player and try to get the exception to the rule at 9. I'm looking for things that like are the rule.
They're the right height.
Like, I'm not trying to I'm trying to eliminate as many possible chances of getting pick number 9 wrong as possible. And so if I know there's only 10 defensive ends in history with tiny arms who have success, and they're Dwight Freeney and Micah Parsons at 31.5 or whatever, and I got like a handful of options, I'm not trying to get the exception to the rule at 9. I'll get the exception to the rule at 15, 32, 76. I don't care. But at 9, I got to eliminate some possibilities of screwing up by eliminating some, like, it'd be like taking a 6'9" quarterback at 1. No 6'9" quarterback's ever been successful. Don't you see the risk?
These are the conversations though you have if you're Brett Veach in the front office though. I mean, this is, you take, there's risk that you
take no matter
what. You know, if you really believe in a player in the entire process and you think his ceiling might be that he's a future Hall of Famer versus a guy that like, yeah, he's going to have a nice career, but the floor is way low. Like, this is the risk evaluation that they have to have and through their scouting department. It's why they get paid to do what they get paid
the
to get it right.
The thing that I would be I'd be a little worried about is that Carnell Tate has never been a number one wide receiver at Ohio State. Never. Jeremiah Smith, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Chris Olave, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Those are some pretty good guys. He was surrounded by deer.
I understand that.
I'd almost be open
but
in
again,
that case.
But hold on, if we're talking about some expectations of selections at 9, Are you willing to take a guy that has never been a number one wide receiver and asked to do all of
it? So, Drew, if that's...
I think that he's been the secondary option. And has he been good because everybody's worried about Jeremiah Smith and Marvin Harrison Jr. and those guys?
This is how
why I would be worried about that more than I would Tyson, more than I even would be Mekhi Lemon.
This is how people talk themselves into Downs, talk themselves into Love. Now, I will say, same thing applies. Do you know how rarely safeties are taken in the top 10? It's for a reason. And the last one to get taken in the top 10 was a fine NFL player for a while, Jamal Adams. Eventually got like crazy trade compensation for, but was also not like an all-pro future Hall of Famer either. It's like those non-valuable positions, you got to be careful with those two. It's like, it's such a mixed bag. It's this elimination of like, how do you make sure? It's why like, if anything was available, like the normal available things as in like, it's reasonable to assume. It's why I'd take Bailey before I'd take any of them if he was there at 9. Before any of the names we just mentioned.
Oh, Bailey's there. If he's available now, you should run to the podium. They shouldn't even take more than a minute.
I just don't think he's going to be there.
I don't think anybody believes he's making it to 9 anymore.
Gold, would you take Sonny Styles over a wide receiver? Would you take Sonny Styles if he's available?
Can he play regular DN in a 4-3? He's a stand-up linebacker. If I can make him a defensive end, sure.
I want to see, to answer that question, Drew, I want to see what they do in free agency first. Like, that's part of this, too. Like, when we're talking about what position, like, I'm open to just about anything other than running back at 9. But if we sit here and they just have Breshard Smith on the roster and then they sign, like, you know, someone way down in free agency, well, then I might feel differently about the running back.
For sure.
If they go and sign Mike Evans, well, then. I don't know if I want him taking a wide receiver at 9. I mean, everything can change.
Take a best player available situation. Yeah,
everything can totally change if they decide to. If they trade Trent McDuffie, and then my feeling about taking Caleb Downs at 9 is way different.
Would you want a corner if they trade a Trent McDuffie? Would you want Mansoor Delaney?
I don't know at 9. I didn't get a corner if with that additional pick that I get, I could take. You know, let's say it's 20 something or whatever.
Yeah.
So much should this change. It is still, I was about to say February. It's March 2nd. We're getting closer, but we haven't even got to free agency yet. A lot of it's going to change.
Out, though.
Franchise tag deadline also is tomorrow afternoon, I think, across the NFL. Not that the Chiefs are going to have anybody tagged, but it could impact the rest of the offseason, what players do.
Do you guys want to do a mock draft, like our own mock draft?
We usually do one, just the first round.
The week of the draft. Uh-huh. We do one usually the week of the draft.
And then we follow it.
Oh no, I meant, do you want to do like a show and where we like submit, like we do every pick in the first round and we submit it to see how we compare.
We can try to do that if you want as well. We'll have to make it just quick. I don't know if people want to have a sit through each pick. We might have to do a little.
I meant like a social, like you and like we sit down and do, and we show the graphic
Why not? We could do that closer. Let's wait till we get to April. How about that?
Yes, that'd be
in April. We're going to
the draft. It would feel right this year more than others.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, let's get to what's trending. Let's talk a bit more about Juwan Taylor, who's expected to get cut. And one thing financially that does benefit some of these MLB teams that have a baseball stadium set up, the way the Royals have talked about in the past.